topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me." Today's broadcast, the essence of my message to Christians, part three. So the overview, I've now reached a point where Father has shown me that my understanding has matured and consolidated to a point where I can write an article summarizing all the key points that relate to my message as my message applies to Christians. This broadcast continues part three of this analysis. Folks, as if you followed the last two parts, you will see there's a very rich tapestry of factors that you should take into account if you're a Christian at some level and you really want to get close to Father. So we'll start by noting that the creative miracle of Yeshua, Jesus, in Miriam, Mary, was less of a miracle than the creation of Adam and the creation of Chava, Eve. We will stress that the death of Yeshua was a miracle. We will disclose that the blood of Yeshua contains only the female chromosome. It will be noted that true believers are filled with the Spirit of the Almighty, they're anointed. That hell is real and is for believers with unrepented sin. We will note that there is a great falling away in the present generation, and it will be stressed that Sunday is pagan, Saturday is the true weekly Sabbath. It will be noted that the Bible is valuable in that it has preserved the history of greatly anointed ones, and that Christianity has blessed the planet, but is now degrading once again. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering, and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a general manager. I have nearly 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of about 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator. It forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Mission Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's endtimeissueministries.org. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. So we're going to pick up where we left off. The message that this is based on, 2020-10-04, The Essence of My Message to Christians, Part 3. Point number 20, the creative miracle of Yeshua in Miriam, Mary, was less of a miracle than the creation of Adam and the creation of Chava, Eve. The creative miracle in the fallopian tubes of Miriam, Mary, that gave rise to the human being we know as Yeshua, not Jesus, was less of a miracle than the creation of Adam and the creation of Chava. Yeshua is therefore 100% human with no inherited bloodline curses. Deifying Yeshua because of his virgin birth misses the point. Yah did not have sex with Miriam. He performed a created miracle with her ovum that was less miraculous than creating Adam from the dust of the earth and Chava from Adam's rib. There is therefore no reason to worship Jesus or Yeshua as his correct name. Folks, this is so important. People get so confused about the creation of Yeshua. It really was, by Father's standards, it really wasn't that much of a miracle. I mean, he created a fertilized egg. All he had to do was fertilize the egg by miraculous means. 21, the death of Yeshua was a miracle. This is really, really important. The death of Yeshua involved a series of inspired prophetic acts referred to the Miracle of Yeshua Jesus' Death webpage for a detailed discussion of the miracle of Yeshua's death. A cave was excavated beneath a cliff face that became known as Golgotha, the place of the skull, because it looked like a skull hundreds of years before Yeshua died. At the time of the Babylonian invasion of Yehuda, Judea, Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, removed the Ark of the Covenant from the temple and hid it in the cave. At some stage, the Romans or earlier people established an execution site directly above the cave. Elkanah, John the Immerser Baptist, proclaimed him, the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. At the time Yeshua was executed, a fourth stake hole or cross hole was excavated above the three existing holes directly over the Ark of the Covenant, specifically for Yeshua. Folks, this is so, so important. Then Pilate proclaimed Yeshua king of the Hebrews, the Jews. The high priest laid hands on Yeshua and proclaimed him Messiah and therefore high priest. The people declared his blood on themselves and their children, thereby proclaiming him their offering for atonement for sin. Yeshua declared the bread and wine to represent his body and blood and therefore ushered in the new covenant when he died. When Yeshua died, an earthquake split the rock beneath the stakehole and caused a crack to form from the stakehole to the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant in the cave below. A soldier then pierced Yeshua's side and blood and water ran down the crack onto the mercy seat. By his sinless blood running onto the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, hidden below the execution site, Yeshua became high priest, the atoning sacrifice for sin. and ushered in the new covenant. See the webpage, Miracle of Yeshua's Jesus Death. See also the YouTube broadcast, RTWUA, for a video reporting the manner in which the blood fell onto the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, that the blood contained only the female chromosomes. That YouTube video is available. There's a webpage called Important Videos on the website. If you scroll down there, you'll find the video about the discovery of the execution site and also the discovery of Yeshua's blood on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant with only the female chromosome. Folks, this is really so important. I've come across believers, Christians, I don't know if they were believers, people who claim to be believers, Christians, who have said all sorts of ugly things about the Jews because the Jews killed my God and things like that, which is just so off the mark. Yeshua came in order to die at that place in the way that he died. He knew 1,000 years before, maybe more, before it happened, what was in store for him when he came to earth. It was a carefully planned exercise. There was no chance in it. Everything happened according to an exact plan. Yeshua had to die exactly that way, in exactly that place, otherwise it would have been a waste of time. So if you've ever gone down the road of the Jews are bad because they killed Jesus, please don't go there. Jesus was a Jew. He died for the Jews. All of this was a series of carefully orchestrated interventions by the Almighty to ensure that Yeshua accomplished his mission. The planning for this started over 1,000 years before with Moses in the wilderness and ran right up to the minute that Yeshua died and was pierced and the blood fell on the mercy seat. It is vital to understand that this was Yah and Yeshua's plan from the beginning, that Yeshua knew what he was coming for and that he had to die exactly that way. So we see that Yeshua, not Jesus, had to be 100% human, and he had to die exactly the way in order to establish a new priesthood, a new covenant, and a new offering for forgiveness of sin. Without all of this, we would have a serious problem. Sadly, Christianity does not understand most of the above. So there's a lot of teaching in Christianity which is sort of mystique and mysterious and magic. It's not. It's a very carefully set of systematic steps over hundreds of years, thousands of years, 8,000 years, something like that, to systematically put this in place. And then a very carefully scripted journey for Yeshua to be conceived in the womb of Miriam, to grow up in the land of the Hebrews in Israel, to provoke the high priests and the Pharisees and all of that. The thing to remember about Yeshua is it's not required for believers to die that way. Yeshua died because he provoked them. He went into the temple and overturned the temples of the tables of the money changers. He called them whitewashed walls. He broke their Sabbath rules. He went out of his way to provoke them so that they would kill him, and kill him on a very specific day, the day before Passover. If you don't understand that, you don't understand Yeshua. You don't understand how he did what he did. You don't understand the importance of what he did, and therefore you can't avail yourself of what he did. Then point 22, the blood of Yeshua contains only the female chromosome. I touched on this a minute ago. As noted above, when he died, the blood of Yeshua exited the wound made by the spear that penetrated his side, where the blood and water from his broken heart ran down the stake, down the earthquake crack, and onto the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. Ron White collected a sample, and when it was analyzed, it was found that the blood contained only the female chromosome, therefore proving the virgin birth. Refer to the webpage Important Videos on the website to see this video. The key thing here, folks, is that The blood fell on the mercy seat. John White collected a sample. He had it analyzed, and it did not contain a male chromosome. So it proved that Yeshua was born of a virgin, born of a woman, with no male intervention. Just a little creative miracle to create a fertilized egg without the sperm coming from a male. That's all. Nothing major. Not anything as dramatic as Father opening up Adam's side and taking a rib and creating Chava Eve from that rib. Even less of a miracle than taking dust of the earth and creating Adam. So, folks, Yeshua was born of a virgin. There's no question about it. And that's an important corroboration of what you read in the Bible. In 23, true believers are filled with the Spirit of the Almighty. In other words, they're anointed. Anyone who's a true believer and has asked for infilling is filled at some level with the Spirit of the Almighty. The majority of such people are Christians, although there are also some Jews and some Muslims who are so filled. But for the most part, they don't know to ask. Charismatic Christians do ask. Traditional Christians don't ask. One of the problems of Christianity is that because of the confusion regarding Jesus, there are many Jesus worshippers who also have some measure of infilling with the set-apart Spirit of the Almighty, and they then attribute the workings of the Almighty in their lives to Jesus. This is an abomination in the sight of the Creator, and these people will end up as adulterous wives in heaven after they've paid the price in hell. A person who is so anointed or filled with the Spirit of the Almighty lives life in a different space and a different mode. See the article, Anointed Life, on the website. Folks, if someone is filled with the Spirit of Yah, the Spirit of the Almighty, has a deep relationship with Father, they will live life in a completely different space to a person who is not a believer, or even a person who is a weak believer who's never been filled with the Spirit. I've seen over the years, I've been Spirit-filled for close to 30 years. In fact, it'll be 30 years next week. Particularly at the times when I've moved powerfully in the Spirit. The people around me don't understand me. They don't understand what I'm doing, why I'm doing it. And at some level, in those days, when I go back 29, 28 years, when I had some really powerful experiences, I didn't fully understand what was going on. And I didn't understand that the people around me didn't understand what was going wrong. So it's actually quite a challenge. Point 24, hell is real and is for believers with unrepented sin. Hell is a real place, as are the torments that occur there, and it is reserved for those who believe but disdain Yeshua's sacrifice and die with unrepented sin. See the webpage Hell for graphic images painted by someone who's been there and graphic accounts by others who've been there. If you die as a Christian and have not dealt with all the sins outlined above, and other sins associated with general Christian belief, you will spend considerable time in hell before you are admitted to heaven, if you are admitted at all. Point number 25, there's a great falling away in the present generation. There is a great falling away at present. The number of true believers is reducing constantly as the old generation die out and the younger generations do not believe. See the webpage Great Falling Away on the website. Folks, there are a few hundred thousand people on earth today who are even vaguely in some place of relationship with Father at a significant level. The rest are playing games. The vast majority don't believe at all. There are a whole lot of what Father calls believing unbelievers, people who have never come into relationship with him. There are a whole lot of people who are unbelieving believers, people who believed at some point but then carried on as though he doesn't exist. There's a small number, and the question is, are you one of that small number? And if you're not sure, what are you going to do to come to deep relationship with Father? And that's what this program is about. There's a huge amount on the website that will help you to get there. 26, Sunday is pagan, Saturday is the true weekly Sabbath. Sunday is a pagan, that is a satanic Sabbath. The true weekly Sabbath is Saturday from sunrise Saturday to sunrise Sunday. See the web page Sunday Pagan on the website. The fourth commandment is remember the Sabbath day and keep it set apart, keep it holy. If you are observing Sunday as your Sabbath and not observing Saturday as your Sabbath and working on the Sabbath, you're going to be judged at the end of your life, and you don't want that. Saturday is the true Sabbath. And it's sunrise to sunrise, not sunset to sunset. The day does not begin at night. In 27, the majority is always wrong. One of the realities in the spirit and religious realm is that the majority of humans are always in error. Yah's truths are preserved by a small minority. This is a huge trap that has ensnared a huge number of people. See the article on the website, The Majority is Always Wrong. Folks, this is a really fundamental point if you're trying to understand things. If there are a lot of people doing something, it's almost certain that it's wrong. So there's something like 500 billion Bibles printed on earth. I don't remember the number, but it's a huge number. That tells you that Satan is not opposing the production of the Bible, and that tells you that there's something wrong with the Bible. It doesn't encourage you to seek a deep relationship with Father. People encourage you to seek a deep relationship with the Bible, and that's idolatry. It's off the mark. It breaks the second commandment. 28, the Bible is valuable in that it has preserved the history of greatly anointed ones and some other things. The Bible is valuable because it has preserved the history of many greatly anointed ones and the history of people who served and failed to serve the Almighty for a period of primarily about 2,000 years. It also contains some inspired texts, about 2.5%. But as stated above, it is just a book written and transcribed and translated by, for the most part, unknown parties with various levels of anointing or perhaps none at all, and various levels of accuracy. By worshipping the Bible as the Word of God, Christians have devalued the Bible and given it false status as a substitute for relationship with the Almighty, to the extent that today the Almighty says that the Bible is the greatest idol on earth today, and he hates it. Folks, when I first came to understand that, it was a huge shock. I spent 8 years walking down a path where I believed the Bible was the Word of God and without error, and closing my eyes to obvious discrepancies. And then one day, Father said to me, James, the Bible is not my word. It's just a book. It took me 10 years to get over that. But it's true. The Bible is a useful history book. The most important parts of the Bible to read are Proverbs and the Epistles, the letters towards the end of the so-called New Testament. The rest of it is just history. Read it once or twice and that's fine. You can read the Epistles more frequently, read the Proverbs more frequently, because there is a lot of wisdom there. 29. Christianity has blessed the planet, but is now degrading again. Modern Christianity, as experienced from the time of Martin Luther, has restored certain levels of truth about the Almighty and has returned many to some level of relationship with the Almighty Creator, Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. The current levels of global prosperity are a direct consequence of millions of people serving the Almighty through Christianity at some level in the last few hundred years. However, in recent years, the vast majority have fallen away. Believing parents have failed to facilitate their children to become believers, with the result that today there are very few true believers on earth. Decisions to take the Bible and prayer out of schools, etc., have accelerated this degradation. Today, the vast majority are unbelievers who believe that what they have today is a consequence of their own ability without the Almighty, when in fact it is the consequence of blessings of the Almighty passed down through multiple generations. Folks, if you go back roughly 500 years ago, the Inquisitions, etc., the whole world had descended into darkness. Christianity was corrupt, off the mark, teaching truth, exclusive, keeping the people in bondage. Luther came along, printed Bibles, printed teachings, got people going in more or less the right direction, with the result that there was a massive resurgence or revival, whatever you want to call it, over the ensuing few hundred years, up to a point about 100 years ago where that peaked and leveled off and started to deteriorate, to a point now where very few people actually believe in the Almighty and even fewer have a relationship with Him. 30, the blessings of belief and the curses of unbelief. Those who do have true belief are blessed at some level with regard to healing, wisdom, protection, provision, favor, etc. But all of these require some measure of living above sin. Christianity has in large measure walked in this, but as noted above, this is slipping away, and in a few hundred years, without a massive revival and renaissance, we will slip again into barbarism and satanic and demonic ways. Those who are not filled with the Spirit of the Almighty will be led by the demonic and not by the Almighty. It's so important to understand that so much of what we have in the world today is a consequence of the blessings on believers from Father. Blessings will perpetuate to at least the third generation, the children's children. And so that's what we have today. We have a prosperous world economy, probably more prosperous than it's been at any time except going back 3,000-4,000 years. And it's starting to degrade. It's starting to deteriorate. The debate about abortion, for example, in the United States is a huge issue. There are all sorts of things happening there and in other Christian countries, so-called Christian countries, that are leading to this falling away. In 31, virginity is set apart, holy. A woman may covenant with only one man. Women are born with the seal of virginity, the hymen. Therefore, they may only covenant, have intercourse with one man, unless they are widows or truly divorced. Adultery is sex with a woman who is one with another man. Men may covenant with, cover, protect, and provide for more than one woman. There are many errors and teachings with regard to the relationship of men and women today. Note that this does not prevent women from being powerful leaders. See the webpage, The Virgin's Covenant. 32, it is acceptable for more than one woman to covenant with one man. In light of the seal of virginity, it is acceptable and was in fact the design intention of the Almighty for a number of women to covenant with one man. However, in modern society, most women cannot handle sharing, so this form of marriage is mostly impractical. This does not alter the fact that it is powerful and pleasing to the Almighty. See the Section 2, Defined Marriage Covenant, of the section Scriptural Definition of Marriage under the webpage Men and Women. And then 33, seven times as many women as men in high places in heaven. There are seven times more women than men in the body of true believers and in high places in heaven. See Single Women Believers, Seven Times Men on the website. Folks, if you've got an attitude to women and you're a believer, you need to deal with it. Women are closer, women are on average closer to Father than men. Many more women have made it into heaven than men. In fact, there are many women in heaven who made it into heaven despite or because of the bad way their men treated them. So if you've got a thing that you think you're better than a woman, you need to fix that attitude, because you're going to get a nasty shock if you make it into heaven. And you're even going to get a nasty shock if you try and get close to Father and discover that most of the people who are close to Father are women. 34, we must keep the Ten Commandments and the Great Commandment. We must keep all 10 of the commandments spoken out loud by the Almighty Creator at Sinai. See the webpage Commandments. The great commandment is love Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. The Ten Commandments are, 1, Yah, the eternally self-existing, is one mighty one. You shall have no other mighty ones beside him. This includes, do not worship Yeshua. 2, have no idols. This includes not worshipping the Bible as the word of God, not worshipping the cross, it was actually a stake, not wearing crucifixes, and so forth. 3, do not take the name of Yah, the eternally self-existing, in vain. Blasphemy. Includes not calling him God or the Lord, also not having a yahoo.com email address or website, etc., or using the Afrikaans word Yah or other words for yes that sound like that, Yahoo, Yah, Yahwal, all breaking that commandment. In the commandment number 4, keep the Sabbaths. We're commanded to keep the high Sabbath, being Passover or Pesach, Pentecost or Shavuot, the Day of Trumpets, Rom Teruah, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, the first and great days of the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. We're also commanded to keep the Saturday Sabbath from sunrise Saturday to sunrise Sunday. Note that Sunday is a pagan Sabbath. 5, honor your father and mother. If you curse them, you will die. Don't put them in an old age home. Keep them under your roof. Care for them. Let them grow old with their grandchildren. 6, no murder. This includes no abortion and no abortive contraceptives. This debate about whether it's okay to abort a 6-week-old or a 16-week-old fetus is nonsense. At the instant the ovum is fertilized, a spirit is allocated, and that becomes a human being in the sight of the Creator. If you prevent that fertilized ovum from implanting in the womb, that's murder. If you kill a 1-day-old or 1-week-old or 1-month-old fetus, that's murder. You will stand trial for murder if you make it to heaven. You will go to hell and pay a horrible price for doing that. So if you've been using abortive contraceptives, get them out and repent and go to Father and ask him to forgive you for any murders that you've committed. And 7, no adultery, men having sex with women who are not virgins, given to themselves, men with men. No stealing, includes taking tithes and offerings while preaching and teaching lies. No false witness and no lying, includes not teaching and preaching lies in church. No coveting and no lusting. Breaking any of the above leads to judgment either in this life or in the life to come. We are required to live free of all of these sins. The key thing to understand also, folks, is that the mark of the beast is a mark that is given to everybody who breaks even one of those 10 commandments. It's not the microchip. The microchip is a smokescreen to get believers all hot under the collar and totally off the mark. If you are lying, you have the mark of the beast. If you're stealing, you have the mark of the beast. If you have abortive contraceptives, you have the mark of the beast. If your parents are in an old age home and you hardly ever visit them, you have the mark of the beast. If you work on Saturday and engage in commerce and do whatever, you have the mark of the beast. If you wear a crucifix, if you say the Bible's the holy word of God, you have the mark of the beast. If you worship Jesus, if you say that, if you believe in a Trinity, if you say that Jesus is God, you have the mark of the beast. 35, prayer, worship, and fasting are vital. It's vital to pray regularly. In fact, pray in the Spirit without ceasing. Worship regularly and fast regularly. There are several pages on the website about prayer, also about worship, recommended worship songs, also about fasting. These are really important things, folks. You need to be praying daily. You need to be worshiping daily. You need to be fasting on a regular basis, at least one, or if not two, sets of 7 3-day fasts twice a year, or 21-day fast once or twice a year. But you really need to fast if you're serious about getting close to Father. Then 36, 7 components of drawing close to the Almighty Creator. There are 7 major elements in drawing close to the Almighty. See the webpage, 7 components of drawing close. These are decision, decide that he exists, prayer, see the webpage prayer for detailed prayers, fasting, I've just talked about that, cleansing, including deliverance from demons. There's a whole process for that in that article I've just referred to on that webpage. Worship, see the recommended worship songs, put them on a little player that you carry around in your pocket with headphones, have it on your sound system at home, play them whenever you can, sing along with them whenever you can. You want to get focused on getting close to Father. Then research, learn what Father wants you to learn and do. Every one of us has a ministry. Every believer has a ministry. You need to figure out what yours is. And then action, putting what you've learned into action with a view to aiming to become a friend of the Creator, your personal ministry. Father created every one of us to be his friends. Virtually nobody is a friend. He wants you to become a friend. 37. There was a global and hydraulic tectonic event. A global hydraulic and tectonic event about 4,500 years ago. It is so that there was a worldwide hydraulic and tectonic event, also known as the flood, in which the entire planet was submerged in water as a consequence of an Earth ice comet impact. The surface of the Earth was then totally mashed up, and the Earth expanded, draining the water of the continents. See the webpage Proof of Global Flood. It is important to understand that reports of finds on Earth that are millions or billions of years old are incorrect. The entire surface of the planet was formed about 4,500 years ago by the event referenced above. Further, high levels of radioactivity were emitted during and after this event, with the result that there were major mutations, diversification of plant and animal species, and degradation of human beings. Noah was about 18 feet tall, 6 meters, and we've degraded from that to a point where maybe if we're doing well, we do 2 meters. The miracle of the flood is that Noah prepared for the flood by building a boat and assembling a representative sample of animals and birds and survived the flood despite tumultuous seas. Every living thing on the ark was strapped down, and then the Almighty put them into suspended animation. Folks, that's the key thing about the flood. That Noah knew it was coming, that he made the necessary preparations, that he took the animals in. And you may say, how could they cope with all these animals for 9 months or whatever the exact period is? The answer is, took them in, strapped them down. Father put them into suspended animation. No food required, no disposal of excrement, etc. They just hung in there in a suspended animation until the flood was over and they could be released. Then 38, all people on earth today are descended from the three sons of Noah. All people on earth today are descended from Noah. Shem, the Jews, Arabs, Europeans, Russians, Indians, North American Indians, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. All at some level serving the Almighty, or not all, but many of them. Japheth, Japanese, Chinese, Koreans, and other Far East peoples, idolatry and worship of the emperor. Ham, most of Africa, ancestor or demon worship. That is not visibly the case today. There's been cross interbreeding, cross pollination, so that most of the people on the earth today are descended from Abram, and many of them are descended from Israel because of, there's an article on the website called Wild Oats, with people traveling the world and impregnating women, and because of the blessings they prosper and the others don't, and it's a whole complex story. But basically the fact of the matter is there are three broad people groups, the Shemites, the Japhethites, and the Hamites. And you can still see them if you join up on LinkedIn in such a way that you join people all over the world. You will clearly see the differences between the Shemites, the Japhethites, and the Hamites. There are a lot of Japhethites and Hamites who are close to Father, so you can't draw conclusions today about chosen races and things like that. That may have been the case 2,000 years ago. It's not the case today. Those chosen races have fallen away to a large extent. It's a matter of individual people in an individual relationship with Father. Then 39, creation took place in an evolutionary manner over millions of years. It's important to note that creation did not take place in seven periods of 24 hours. The word translated day in Genesis in most English Bibles relates to a period of time of indeterminate duration. So creation took place in an evolutionary manner of progressive discovery by the Creator as He progressively created more and more complex planets, plants, animals, spirit beings, etc., until He finally created humankind just over 6,000 years ago. This is so important. There is this complete disconnect between scientifically minded people who look at the evidence and see an evolutionary progression, and many believing people who take the Bible literally and say, well, it says it was created in 7 days. So in their heads, that's seven periods of 24 hours. It's mechanically, technically, completely impossible that this universe was created in one day, in one period of 24 hours. If you understand the basic laws of physics, it's simply completely impossible. And the Bible doesn't say day. One of the things you've got to watch is that there are these really, really serious translation errors in the Bible. If you go back to the Hebrew text and then you look at the translation, if you go into Strong's Concordance and you look at the word day, you'll see a whole mishmash of stuff. It's somebody's interpretation that's day, and then people have extended that and made it 24 hours, and it's a mess. So the result is that people who should be believing most of what's said about evolution don't recognize the reality of evolution, and people who recognize the reality of evolution dismiss belief in the Almighty because of the nonsense that the believers believe. Then number 40, Christianity does preserve important truths. As mentioned above, Christianity is corrupt and pagan insofar as it worships a man, Jesus, and idolizes the Bible. The vast majority of people who class themselves as Christians today are classified by Father Yah as believing unbelievers, tens of millions of them. Some are foolish virgins who make it into heaven, and many are headed for the outer darkness. At the same time, important truths are preserved in Christianity, particularly the truth or semi-truth about Yeshua, albeit it is masked by major error. The supernatural charismatic gifts are more widely present in Christianity than other religions for the most part. That said, most of the charismatic Christians today are adulterous wives because of their worship of Jesus in the Bible. See the webpage, The Demographics of the Kingdom of Yah, in December 2015 at Demographics of the Kingdom. So folks, if you come from, I come from a Christian background, but I no longer regard myself as Christian. I do not identify with any specific religion. My religion is I have a relationship with the Almighty Creator. I want every person on the planet to have a relationship with the Almighty Creator. It doesn't matter whether you're Jewish or Muslim or Baha'i or Hindu or Buddhist or Christian or whatever. I don't want to sound harsh. I don't really care what it is you believe right now. I want you to have a relationship with Father. He wants you to have a relationship with Father. So to wrap up, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. I can't stress this enough, folks. You can get to a place where you see Yah as your friend. And that's not presumptuous. It's not wrong. He wants to be your friend, but it's a hang of a lot easier for Him to be your friend because He knows what's going on than it is for you to become His friend. For you to become his friend, you need to start understanding how he thinks. You need to start understanding what's important to him. You need to start praying his will on earth. You need to be speaking his will on earth. You need to be out there bringing people to relationship with him. Otherwise, you're going to get to heaven if you do get to heaven, and Father's going to say to you, well, you know what? You had an interesting life, but you really didn't have a relationship with me, so I'm sorry. Go down there. Horrible thought. And yet, I challenge you because as far as I can figure out, the probability is that you are not doing what you need to do to get really, really close to him right now. And I challenge you to start doing that from this instant onwards. So key documents and a video on the main web pages, video, why seek relationship, really important, miracle of Yeshua's death. Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator, recommended worship. The Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing, the essence of my message to Christians. Also articles for Jews, Muslims, and other faiths, unbelievers, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcript of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show, then podcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. Those all are right at the top of the main menu on the website. There are around 2,500 articles in the articles database, and there are over 1,000 web pages. Answers to many questions, not all the questions you may come up with, but if you are taking this seriously, if you want to get close to Father, there's a lot of information there which has been built up over most of the last 20 years that will help you with your journey. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list, also at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, my core message is the Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you, not the person to the right or the left or behind or in front or above or below, with you. Doesn't matter whether you're short or tall, fat or thin, rich or poor, educated or uneducated. Doesn't matter whether you're Jewish, Spanish, Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, whatever. He wants a relationship with you. Doesn't matter even if you're a Satanist or a witch or a warlock or whatever right now. He wants a deep personal relationship with you. He will meet you wherever you are. Say, Father Yah, in the name of Yeshua, James says I can become your friend. I want to become your friend. Help me to become your friend. Show me what to read. Show me what to listen to. Show me what to do. Show me what to say. Bring the people you want into my life. Take the people you don't want in my life out. Help me to become your friend. It's going to take you a few years. Read the article I referred to earlier, Seven Components of Drawing Close. Put that all into practice. It's there for you to sit on a high throne close to Yeshua for eternity with a glorious body and great authority and power and prestige. I recommend it. Go for it right now. Good night. Father, I